Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Here we are at the end of our Lenten journey on Easter Sunday, and here we also are at the end of our sermon series going through the Lord's Prayer. Today we close it with the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. Let's turn to page 325 in the front of the hymnal, where we will speak together the conclusion and explanation. The conclusion. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does this mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now, this is actually not the end of our sermon series. I'm actually reserving the final word of the conclusion for our festival service at 10. But for right now, we are talking about the doxology with which we conclude the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Though, biblically, this is not part of the original Lord's Prayer, it offers an excellent summation of exactly why we pray to God our Heavenly Father. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We start with God's kingdom, and the kingdom is already God's, as we talked about in the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. The kingdom of God does come. God already has and rules all things. We see this in Psalm 45, where the psalmist says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. God rules all things. And as such, we must entrust to him all things in heaven and on earth, and that includes our political process, or the four-year circus, as it were. But in Romans chapter 13, Paul writes, There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And then again, that the magistrate or the ruler is God's servant for your good. And so we trust that God will see our political process through. Although that's not an easy thing to do, especially when the front runners for both parties for November's election have historically low approval ratings, at least according to the radio this week. But we still must trust that no matter what, God will rule over us through his kingdom, and that his kingdom will come to us. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We seek God, and we seek after the things of God, and we trust that everything else will work out. So along with the kingdom and reign of God also comes the power of God and the authority of God, that all power in heaven and on earth belongs to him. In Matthew 28, Jesus says as much, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then again, in Revelation 7, the crowd around the throne praises him, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. God's power is absolute, and we recognize that he has total power over us and over everything he has created. This is an immense comfort for us because we know that nothing is outside his control and his power and authority. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." And not only that, but God uses his power for our good. This weekend, Batman v Superman actually opened, and I haven't gone to see it yet, but there is one incontrovertible fact about Superman in the comics. He is good. He has the power to do pretty much anything he wants, which would be a terrifying thing if he weren't also using that power for good. In a similar fashion, an all-powerful God can do anything he wants. But, as we see in Scripture, God only uses that his power for our good and for our benefit. And that is what sets the true God apart from all of those other so-called gods and their capricious ways. And ultimately, to God belongs all the glory because of everything that has come before, because he rules over everything and he has the power over everything. And after everything God has done, this should not really be a question, that of course to God belongs the glory. J.S. Bach would actually, at the end of each of his compositions, put three letters, SDG, which stands for, in Latin, Soli Deo Gloria, or to God alone be the glory. Because we recognize that all the glory belongs to God for everything that we do and for everything even more that he does. We glorify God for who he is. God, our God is good, he is immortal, he is holy, but even more than praising him for who he is, we praise him for what he has done, that he created us. That even though our first parents fell into sin, he forgives, and he set events in motion that would forgive us. He provides for us. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us 2,000 years ago, and he rose from the dead for us. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This holds true at all times and in all situations, that the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to God, our Heavenly Father, who has brought us into his kingdom and redeemed us by the blood of his Son. But even more does this hold true for us today, as we are celebrating together the incontrovertible truth that, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our God's kingdom extends from his heavenly home to the earth which he created, and even extends down to death, the supposed realm of Satan. But Satan could not hold on to his kingdom forever, because all power belongs to God who created and sustains all things. So of course to God belongs the glory, because alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we praise God that we too will rise. Alleluia. Amen.